It's Afternoons with OMF.
Also from Kentucky, number 23, Anthony Davis.
Oh, my God!
We would like both Tatum and we would like Jaylen Brown. For that, you get Anthony Davis. If I'm Danny Ainge, you know what I say? Bleep yes!
You know what?
Right now! Can I take you back? I want to take you back to 2007.
Tom, the players are graded after every game, correct? Are the coaches graded?
I'm not sure where you're going with this, Scratchy. You're finding a way to just squeeze me a little bit, which I'm not enjoying.
I was like, oh, I just can't. He, you know what, Skip? He rubs me some kind of way with all this stuff.
Right now.
Oh! I'm not taking it back.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Very uncomfortable when Brady and Scratchy go at it like that. I wonder what Stedman and Oprah think right now, you know?
It's not the way we're supposed to act.
No, we're not supposed to act like that. Well, we finally found out today
our good
why...
Our friend Stedman always says, we keep going.
Keep going, baby.
Keep going. Nobody died.
Keep going.
Why would you stop? Nobody died.
We finally found out why Ben Roethlisberger spent so much time on the sidelines and wasn't in the game on Sunday out there in Oakland. So apparently, they kind of said something stupid. They threw it out there. Well, Josh Dobbs was in the rhythm and the flow of the game. Yeah, but he wasn't doing anything. Okay, he wasn't accomplishing anything. It turns out that today Roethlisberger explained it all. He went into the X-ray room and had X-rays taken on his ribs at halftime. They were inconclusive. Not negative, inconclusive. And as you know, Ben Roethlisberger is the toughest man alive. So inconclusive to him is pretty good.
Play it.
Ben sustained an injury at the end of the first half. We went in at halftime. He needed to be evaluated. X-ray was a part of that. Getting the X-ray executed was not a fluid thing. oftentimes, it's not a fluid thing, to be honest with you. New and unfamiliar venues and things of that nature. We didn't have great clarity, to be honest with you. Wasn't able to read the X-ray to our satisfaction. It was probably a dated piece of equipment or what have you. So we never really fully had a complete understanding of specifically what the injury was at the stadium site.
You know what's amazing? Imagine Bill Belichick sitting here and being this descriptive.
I enjoy it because it's Pittsburgh week, so we're talking about getting Tomlin sound, you know, for everything. And it was so predictable, right? I was talking about, like, Connor. Like you said, like, what would Belichick ever say?
Nothing. I can see him.
Well, James right now, he's working with our trainers. He looks good to play. I don't want to say he's going to definitely play.
Injury
report
Wednesday.
There's a very good chance he could play.
Ben,
he did tweak his
obviously
ankle.
We got him evaluated when we got back. He has a rib or several rib contusions. That'll be addressed throughout the week. We anticipate him being available to us. Pain management through the week will probably be the storyline in terms of what he's able to do from a physical preparation standpoint. But, again, Ben has played a lot of football, and we've been in this situation with him a lot.
We'll walk that
tightrope and go into the stadium with no excuses there. James Conner with his ankle, man, impressive week last week. We'll see what this week holds, and obviously his availability will be based on first his health and then his preparedness.
Can you imagine Bill doing something
that's
like
the way
this?
He talks.
You know what we get? Nobody died.
I'm pretty sure Ben's going to be limited in some of the practices. He'll probably be listed as questionable. Pretty good chance he could play. James Conner's dealing with an ankle. I don't know. He had a pretty good week last week. He'll probably be questionable. Pretty good chance he could play as well. We also got a couple other guys banged up that I don't know if Pittsburgh, I don't know if New England really needs to know about, but I'm going to tell them all about them, where the injuries are. Maybe they can use it against us, and we'll just go from there and we'll see how this game goes on Sunday.
Where can you use it against us?
It is unbelievable.
I'll tell them where the bodies are buried.
I mean,
everything is like, imagine him ordering like food in a drive-thru.
Oh my God.
I would like to get the Big Mac and the filet of fish. I'm not sure. Hey, baby, do you want the quarter pounder? Who wants an icy coke?
Apple pie.
Apple pie? Okay, I'll get that also. Thank you very much. I have exact change.
I'd really like to order that double cheeseburger, but my doctor told me I shouldn't. So instead, I'm going to get a couple fries and some chicken wings. Thank
God.
You.
How do you fry those fries? What did he say about the kicker?
Oh, this is just good. Listen to this.
We acknowledge that Chris has struggled. We acknowledge that Chris has struggled to find consistent footing. We're willing to explore options that give us the very best chance.
Hold on.
Footing.
We are going to acknowledge.
We're going to acknowledge it.
Because we know it's obvious. So we're going to go ahead
and
acknowledge
it. We're not going to run from it. We're not going to hide from it.
Thank you. But now you turned
into
a preacher.
There was some footage issues.
You can't turn into Ray Lewis.
We thought our guy was bad. Our kid was bad.
You got to keep it clean. You got to keep it. Don't let your Mike Tomlin voice morph into Ray Lewis. Because I could see how that could happen.
No, it's more like robotic, right, than Ray.
Yeah. Keep his balance.
We're not going to run from it. We know that there's some issues. He's got some footing issues. We're going to talk about it. We're going to fix it. Whether it's footwear, whatever it might be, we're going to be better prepared on Sunday. I mean, it's like a robotic. I don't know if it's not even Ray, but there's a lot of info.
You know, the worst part about it is he can't coach. He sucks. He's not a good coach in this league. People keep on putting him on lists that he's one of the better coaches in the league. All the talent he's had, he should be better, but he can talk.
We acknowledge that Chris has struggled. We acknowledge that Chris has struggled to find consistent footing.
We're willing
to explore options that gives us the very best chances of that ball going through the uprights this weekend. That being said, those options include Chris. You know, this time of year, we're cognizant of what's available.
Suck
you
all know, the oxygen approach right out of the room.
To include Chris in those options.
Sure.
And that's what we intend to do.
Thank you.
Know, his performance merits us turning stones over and looking at our options. But the easy decision for us to do is to assign blame or to shoot a hostage or to do things of that nature regarding Boz.
Wait, what? What are your options?
He's saying that would be the easy thing to do.
The easy thing to do would be to shoot a hostage?
No, that was an old like reference to Le'Veon Bell. Like, we're not going to be held hostage, or we're not going to worry about our captives. Whatever it
is, they want to shoot Le'Veon Bell.
I don't know what it is, but he sounds like somebody who's reading one of those old school like telegraphs.
It does.
Like, I'm not going to worry about my options. I'm not sure.
It's kind of monotone. Yes.
Those options. Stop.
Period.
Right.
He needs to keep going, and we need him. Stop.
It sounds like he's doing a police report.
Performance merits us turning stones over and looking at our options. But the easy decision for us to do is to assign blame to shoot a hostage or to
shoot
do things of that
don't
nature
shoot
regarding Boz.
You're right. He sounds like a.
I don't get the hostage.
He sounds like a police chief.
So
at a crime scene.
Yeah. That's what he is, doing a little press conference.
Can I also preface that nobody's asked a question yet? He just comes out and just starts talking away.
I love this.
So he's got a list. I kind of like that.
He talks too much.
I tell you what would be easy to do.
And from somebody who does, I got to tell you, he talks too much.
It would be easy to take notes because everything's real clear, concise. There's no rumbling, mumbling. He's very clear.
You need a pad of paper.
That's all right, but at least you get it.
This story gets even funnier because he alluded to the fact that the X-ray machine, about, what did he say? He called it an antiquated or whatever.
It's an old piece of machinery. I feel like he's got a point there.
So here's what happened. So Roethlisberger goes in to get an X-ray. The X-rays were inconclusive. Because everybody who's gone and gotten X-rays this year have been inconclusive. Because they have one of these old X-ray machines that has MASH on the side of it.
Probably a dated piece of equipment.
And the Oakland Raiders are not going to purchase anything new because they're moving their ass out of there.
True.
So they don't work. The X-ray machines don't work. But why would you send your player back into a game where you don't know if he's got broken ribs or not?
Rib or several rib contusions.
Contusions? But you don't know that because the X-ray machine was not working because it's from 1953.
I would have loved
used in the Korean War.
After you explain what was wrong with Ben, he's like, in other words, his ribs all effed up.
He's got a point, though. Excellent point, though, with the whole Oakland Coliseum, right? Because
what a dump that place
it is.
It is a dump.
It's terrible. It hasn't changed since you played out there.
It's still a dump.
But since you're not sure he could have a rib or several rib contusions,
right?
You just throw him, he goes back out there. Hey, we're not sure.
You know what they did?
He went back out into the
game. Nope. They got him some good medicine. Yeah, pain killing.
What were we talking about?
They did an injection.
You threw it out there. People in Pittsburgh are saying that, Ben didn't play they thought they could win the game, and then once they were trailing, it's like, obviously he was dealing with some injury.
And, Lou, that was the story. What are you talking about?
The story was wrong. He got his ribs looked at. They were shooting him up. In the meantime, the second half has started.
Well,
so the Scrubino goes in there and plays. They lose the lead, and now Ben's ready to go.
Well, the coach said, we're in the rhythm and the flow of the game.
Well, that's
you
weren't just
in
him.
Rhythm
that's
of
just,
the flow
that's just
of
him
the,
talking.
Of the game.
That sounds good. We're in the rhythm and the flow. He probably says that every single week.
Yeah.
Rhythm and the flow.
We acknowledge that Chris has struggled. We acknowledge that Chris has struggled to find consistent footing.
But I'm just saying, it was delayed.
So here's the deal, though.
It was delayed because of the X-rays,
apparently.
What they have going on in Oakland.
That's what
they gave him a shot. They probably said it takes about 5 minutes to kick in or whatever it might be. We got to start this kid in the third quarter for a couple of series. Next thing you know, they're trailing, and here comes Ben.
So Roethlisberger has declined now to disclose what the MRI has shown. So they're now back in Pittsburgh. They've been able to go to, like, a real facility, you know, medical facility. He's had MRIs. He's had x-rays. Real, you know. Where they have, like, real doctors and real nurses and stuff like that and real equipment. But he is not saying what it is.
Okay, so would you rather have – okay, because the Mike Tomlin thing is kind of intriguing to me. Would you rather have that Mike Tomlin with all his loud, boisterous, and, you know, weird phrases that don't make any sense? Or would you rather have this? Now.
Dead air? I'd rather have Tomlin.
No. This
okay,
is,
well,
this
is the... back in the division, back in Miami. You know, looking at the Dolphins, this is a lot different team than we saw earlier in the year.
Okay, you can stop it. Right,
Ben,
now. I know what you're doing.
Obviously, there. We got him.
You're gonna, I like this. Yeah, I think I prefer Tomlin.
You're going to piss off Tangway. Tangway is suddenly very supportive of Belichick.
Really,
and you're going to piss him off.
Winning close
I think
games.
I prefer Tomlin.
Here's the question.
I prefer Tomlin.
Who would you rather have as a coach?
It doesn't matter. That's not the question. No.
Coach. It's not about order. I don't need an order.
The question is obvious.
Bill fell off the cliff?
Oh, that's right. He did fall off the cliff.
Before he lost his hearing and his memory.
Actually, Tomlin fell off the cliff, too, because they've lost three in a row.
Okay, so that's not the
do you
question.
Think Tomlin
the point is
a good coach?
I'd rather have Tomlin as far as all my press conferences. Like,
I'll give you that.
One of those strengths of the team is special teams.
Nobody died. Nobody died, Bill. Nobody died. Remember that. Nobody died.
Old guy Defoe.
Are you?
Doesn't it, though?
Who would you rather have as a coach?
I mean, come on. That's not even a serious question.
Yeah, it's not a serious
it's not even. It's not a serious question.
But every time I see these lists, and I swear to God, people just throw lists together because people apparently like lists. But you always see Tomlin in there somewhere, and I could never figure it out. The one thing I will say about the Pittsburgh Steelers, they have been loyal. They've had three coaches now in the last, 50 or 60 years, simply because of loyalty, not because of performance. Loyalty. The only one that's got had a better run right now with very little to show for would be Marv Lewis in Cincinnati. And by the way, the word is out. Hugh Jackson may be the guy.
Oh,
he may be the next
coach. Well, then you know what? Good. They deserve everything
exactly.
they get. Then.
Good for
Go
them.
Ahead. Yeah, good for the Cincinnati
the
Bengals.
The best thing
Nothing's
happened
changed.
To the other teams in that division. And best thing that happened to Cleveland, because now they'll beat their ass every single year.
But that's part of what you look at and say, why does New England beat Pittsburgh all the time? You've got a quarterback who's got a great track record down there. But let's face it, the coach who screwed up on Sunday down in Miami is so much better than that coach down there who just went on and gave us a complete rundown about everybody's injury.
I think we would agree with that.
Yeah. It's not even close.
Yep.
And that's a major factor
or
in all
to shoot
this.
A hostage or to...
What are you shooting
a hostage
for?
Jesus, Mike, don't shoot anybody.
I would say that would be the easy thing to do.
God, I know. The easy thing to do would be to shoot a hostage.
They're tied up. You have a bag over their head. They can't see anything.
First of all, by the way, have you seen the story that's out about your buddy Ray Caruth yet?
Oh, no.
Oh, you got to see this.
Stop following.
Oh, we'll talk about it later. You got to see it. It's awesome. Tom is in West Springfield. Hello, Tom. Thank you. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
All right, so I'm just worrying about the worry warts out there that are worrying about Miami versus Patriots and the fact that they lost the game that who cares about? I don't get it because a lot of people looking at this thing, it doesn't make sense to me.
What do you mean
who
it doesn't make sense?
Who cares the fact that they lost the game to the stupid Miami Dolphins?
Tom, how do you feel about, like, say, I don't know, like a bye, home field advantage throughout the postseason? Those things mean anything to you?
No.
Okay,
no.
Just checking.
I'm talking about the
nobody,
play.
Nobody died, Lou.
Then you shouldn't worry about anything. If home field advantage and getting
everyone's
a bye and the one and the two seed don't bother you, then you shouldn't worry about that game at all.
Nobody
you
know died.
You could just kick back and chill.
I don't get it why, but the fact is 3 days of radio talking about the Patriots losing the Miami Dolphins is getting ridiculous. I can't believe the fact that this thing's going on. Who cares? If you have faith in the Patriots, then you have faith in the Patriots. I don't understand why we're still worrying about nonstop gossip about
What's
Gronk being
gossip?
Out there. Who cares?
That's not gossip.
There's not even gossip going on.
There's
this
not a
week,
rumor.
Tom.
That's not like someone said.
Tom, it sounds like you don't like sports. I don't know. Just
I love
tune
sports.
Just listen. Just tune them on every Sunday. Win or lose, turn everything off. Go back to your life. Turn them back on Sunday. Win or lose, turn everything off. Go back to your work. Go back to your your life.
Hey, Tom.
On Sunday, watch a game.
Hey, Tom, let's just sit by
Some of us like to discuss wins and losses. You apparently don't.
Let's sit by the fire, Tom. Right?
We're good.
Like some Christmas music. Is that okay?
Some of us think it was kind of important because you might not get the number one seed now. Some of us think that's important.
Because KC pulled through and everyone's scared. Oh, my God, KC might come through. But no, where's the faith in the past, though?
Where is it? Where is all the faith gone, Tom?
I never had it, quite frankly.
What?
I never had them going to the Super Bowl. So I don't know what it's. I have faith that they're good, but not great.
It's the holiday season.
Very good team here. We got a good
We should support them.
We should give a standing O when they take the field.
Just listen to some Christmas music, Tom. Don't get worked up. Don't let these guys get to you, you know, with a tough loss down in Miami. Don't let them get to you.
It's hot out there. It's like 80 degrees. It rained in the morning before the game.
Yeah, so what do you expect? Really slow. And the field was in bad shape, too, on top of that.
That's right. They had to stop the game.
Apparently not as bad as Oakland. It wasn't as bad as Oakland. All right, 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, we'll continue to talk about football and the crazy Steelers. And we were going to talk baseball later on in the hour, but this is very interesting. This has all happened in the last 2 minutes. Bob Nightingale, usually pretty good at this stuff, USA Today. The Boston Red Sox trying to clear salary space for bullpen help are openly listening to offers on Rick Porcello. And rivals insist also are willing to talk about Xander Bogaerts and Jackie Bradley Jr.
Oh, boy.
So we talked here last week about Nathan Eovaldi, and you and I both agreed, Lou, that they might have overpaid him. And people were saying, well, what difference is it? It's not my money. I don't care. But it is their money, the Red Sox money, and they have a ceiling as to where they will go. To the point where Dave Dombrowski yesterday pretty much tells you that they're not going to stay with Kimbrel because the money is too great. He wants 5 years, $86 million.
Too much of a commitment.
That's Chapman money, okay? So he's looking maybe at a David Robertson, 33 years of age, so maybe the contract is shorter, a two-year deal. Ottavino, maybe a shorter contract. He's 33 years old. But this is kind of interesting because you've said this all along, Lou. If you bring Nathan Eovaldi and you're paying him that type of money, and you only have one more year of Porcello, maybe you deal Porcello to free up that money to pay Nathan Eovaldi. Yeah. Now, people don't look at that because they say, well, there's no salary cap, but there is a budget.
Finally brought it up.
Yes.
And, you know, you were wondering. I brought it up a while ago when we were talking about signing a guy and trying to get someone beyond these years. This all comes off of Alex Speer writing an article about the Red Sox are already roughly $235 million in commitment. That gives them $11 million before this threshold again. So everybody can sit there and say, you know, whatever. I don't care how much money they spent on Eovaldi. Good for them. They brought him back. And the thing is, when we started talking about it, it's like, I think that was the move. If you find someone you can extend for 3 or 4 years, you take that 17 you're giving him, you take 21 and a half of Porcello off the books. Now you've got commitments moving forward with starters like Price, Eovaldi, Erod, and now you only got one question mark, and that's Chris Sale. Okay, so
we won't talk about his
situation. And by the way, you're still up $5 million, $4.5 million by trading away a guy like Porcello. But now when you start hearing talks about like Xander Bogaerts and Jackie Bradley Jr.
See, I think this is the year you trade Jackie Bradley Jr. I'm sorry, you talk about Eovaldi and his value increasing with what he did in the postseason. Jackie Bradley Jr.'s price is never going to be higher. Value is never going to be higher.
The point is that everybody said it's got nothing to do with Eovaldi getting money. Who cares? Well, apparently it does. You got Eovaldi. You're going to lose Jackie. You might lose Porcello, but you got Eovaldi. And is that a guy you can really count on for the next 3 or 4 years to solidify this rotation like Porcello has done for you the last 3 years and given you
33 starts
yep. every single year?
Yep.
Well, now you're going to roll the dice in a big way.
Yep.
Because I do think, you know, when you got $11 million right now before you go over that next threshold, I didn't think they were that high. I mean, I thought they would go out and get a $10 million reliever and then go up maybe find another $3 or $4, $5 million reliever. But they got to clear some salary space.
Well, I hate to say it, but I think they may lose Kelly here. because Kelly may be too expensive for them based on what he did.
No, Kelly's not coming back. But I would say that if you're looking at guys that are, I guess, more easily replaceable, I would say Xander and Jackie.
No, not Xander.
Oh, no, no, Xander's
not.
No,
why?
No, no.
Why?
Middle infielder? No, no.
Oh, so,
especially
so
with the year that he had.
So,
no,
so
this year.
Have the, so how tough is it would it be for you to go find a guy like Porcello? If you find him, you have to pay him the same amount of money.
Yes, but Xander Bogaerts, you don't have any. Do you have anybody in the system that can play that position?
You have to end up trading him.
I get uncomfortable trading Porcello because of Eovaldi, and this goes back to the signing where everyone's like, I don't understand why you don't like it. Like, if Nathan Eovaldi was a guy that I felt like I could pencil in for 30 starts a year for next year or the year after and the year after that, then I would say absolutely. You move on from Rick Porcello. Xander Bogaerts, he hits fifth for you. He plays a premium position at shortstop. I don't think you find those guys.
No.
I think Bogaerts and Betts are the guys you invest long term. If anything, I can go find a defensive center fielder who hits ninth for me.
Yeah.
If I have to make a move to free up some space, Jackie's projected to make almost $9 million in arbitration. Xander, a little bit over 11.
But
if I got to free up $9 million, yeah, I can go find that guy at center.
Yeah, but Lou, Bradley is an easy replacement because most nights you're going to have J.D. Martinez playing in left field, right?
He's got 2 years left in his deal. Xander's got one. As far as trading and getting something back, you know, I mean, I know you can get a lot for Xander. I know that.
Well,
but
that would be the key. So if you're gonna sit there and what's more important to you?
Is your
bullpen? Is your closer?
Shortstop is more important than any of them.
They're hard
than
to find.
Any of them. Then
my relievers.
Any of your pitchers. Starting pitchers.
It's their starting pitcher now is what it is. I mean, what you're saying, like, would I rather have Xander or Porcello?
Yeah,
I'd rather have Xander.
That's my point. So if the
you've got a Porcello replacement.
It is what it is, and you have to find a way to save money or find money. Then some of the, because do you think this team is going to look the same way it does right now when the season starts?
No.
So some
can't.
Of
it can't because of the payroll.
I think people have this assumption that it's going to look exactly the way it did, and everybody's coming back, and maybe a few pieces at the trade deadline. But ultimately, the same team that won the World Series is going to have the best chance to win you another one, which means Xander stays, Jackie stays, all your relievers stay, or, you know, everybody comes back. And I don't think it's going to look like that. I think someone's going to have to take it on the chin. Somebody that you like is going to be uncomfortable.
Well, getting back to who's the easiest one to deal. I don't know exactly what you get in return for Jackie Bradley Jr. Maybe you do get a relief pitcher, you know, a pretty good relief pitcher from somebody. To me, Jackie Bradley Jr. is the easiest one to replace.
Yeah, but
easiest one to replace.
But he's not going to be the most coveted. It's like someone that you trade, it's going to have to end up hurting you. It's going to hurt.
Well,
like, you don't
Porcello only has 1 year left. Mm-hmm. So you deal him, you're trading away only 1 year of his contract. That's it.
It's not like
you're getting Porcello with 3 or 4 years.
I got to see what the next move is, but this is just solidifying my feeling of now I dislike this Eovaldi signing more than anything.
I'm with you.
I mean, you've got five starters in this rotation. Without Eovaldi, you had four. You know, you still had Sale, Porcello, Erod, and Price. And you could say, well, I don't know about the health of these guys. Okay, we'll throw the health of Eovaldi in there, too. You know the health of him? You don't know the health of him. You don't know what he's going to give you. So if you let Nathan Eovaldi pat him on the back and say, thank you very much for your World Series run, and that's $17 million, now you don't have to trade Porcello, who's the one guy in this rotation that you know is going to give you 33 starts. And now you maybe don't have to trade your center fielder or your shortstop. And oh, by the way, with that $17 million, you don't need to trade anybody. And now you got $17 million to go sign two very good relievers, top of the end relievers. Is that a better team?
Yeah.
Or are you glad that you got now? Are you happy you got Eovaldi now? And now you may have to trade away Porcello or Jackie or Xander, God forbid, just to what? Get to have a couple extra bucks to sign some relievers?
So what happened last week is everybody, just fresh off of the playoffs and the World Series, were really excited about what Eovaldi did. So they were willing to pay him whatever. And you're right. And the problem you have right now is if you deal Porcello, we know what his attendance record is. It's been phenomenal year in and year out. Talk about durability. Now you better get 30 starts out of Evaldi this year, and he better be damn good, because if he isn't, or he has health problems and the elbow goes on him, then you're screwed.
I mean, 4 days after they signed Evaldi, and everybody said, what are you worried about money? They don't care about money. You've seen articles. They have to cut payroll now.
But that was stupid for anybody to think that. Even though there's no cap, there's a budget.
But it wasn't based on this year. What we were talking about was next after the 2019 season.
No, it is based on this year.
No, but what we were talking about had nothing to do with this year. We were talking about, okay, Mookie Betts is going to be up. JD's going to have an option. We were talking about Nathan Evaldi. This signing Nathan Evaldi is going to hurt those guys.
We still thought they had, I didn't know they had only $11 million.
But
by the way, that 11, Alex
Speer,
they
have arbitration money.
No, that's all factored in. But the $11 million, they're $235 now, and that factors in everything for luxury tax purposes. This is where they would like to stay, period. Because that $10 million, you always want $10 million under going into the season. So when you do go sign a guy like Steve Pierce and Nathan Evaldi or trade for these guys, you're going to add $5 or $6 million. There might be a couple call-ups. There could be a couple trades. So you don't have $11 million to sign. If that's the case, now, all right, then you're in a boat again. You're going back over that luxury tax. It's going to affect your picks again, the tire tax value. Listen, I understand people say, who cares? Just go over the luxury tax.
But
apparently the team does, because now they're looking to pay cut salary you just signed Evaldi, and everyone's all excited about it for $17 million.
People do that because they're excited about getting the player, and they look at it and say there's no cap in baseball that you're dealing with. But there is, because there is a budget, and there is a luxury tax. And the luxury tax not only affects how much you're going to pay above that threshold once you go over it, but it also messes you up now with international signing money and with draft picks. So now it affects your future. It affects how you're going to rebuild and become younger with this team.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, I'm seeing now everybody on Twitter, right? Can't do that. You'd mess with the chemistry.
Can't do what?
Yeah. Porcello. Porcello's like a good. Listen, if Rick Porcello was traded, guys wouldn't enjoy it at all. They love that guy. They should love that guy. He's got a set. He takes the ball each and every fifth day. Pretty sure life would go on. I'm pretty sure they would have an opening day. Pretty sure these guys would still be committed to playing baseball. You know, so I guess, and I don't know what guys like Charlie Morton would cost. Right? Older player.
Shorter contract because of his age.
Oh, I don't even know about the money. Like, do I have to spend $20 million for Charlie Morton, or can I get him for $13?
I think you're doing 20 probably for 2 years, like 40-some, 40.
See, that's what I mean. Right. So now I'm not going anywhere, right?
But you're not doing a 5 or 6 year commitment?
No, but I'm just talking financially for this year. Right. I'm not gaining anything. You know, if I traded Porcello and I just got some prospects back to replenish the system and signed Morton for $13 for 1 year, okay, now I'm in the boat, right? Now I'm doing a similar thing. I've saved $7 million. But, no, I just want to see what this next move is, because if they're trading players to free salary cap space – now, call me back and ask. Tell me how you feel about Nathan Evaldi signing for 17.
Well, let me ask you about this, about the bullpen, because they're going to have to add. They're going to lose Kimbrel here, and I know people are sitting there saying, "Well, you can't pay the money," and I agree. If he wants $18 million a year, that's far too much. And you never know about these guys from 1 year to the next. Though he's been pretty good over the and pretty consistent over the years. But what are we talking about? If Dombrowski is sitting there saying we don't want to commit that type of money to that role, what are we talking about? Getting a bunch of guys out there that, what, might be good, might be okay?
Well, you're going to try out Brazier, you're going to try out Hembree, you're going to try out those guys?
Well, Ottavino, who went to Northeastern here, 33 years old, we talked about him earlier. He was terrific this past year in Colorado. The year before, he wasn't so good. He was one of those guys that had a good year, right? And you get that with bullpen guys. They have one good year, and they have a bad year. And then they have a good year, and they have a couple bad years. That's what you're getting. I mean, Kimbrel, for all you talk about, he's been pretty consistent.
I don't believe the whole Dombrowski, like, we're not going to have a lot of money. We're not going to have a lot of money.
He's
like,
not.
They're going to find a way, because they're going to need to get and identify a closer instead of doing this whole closer by committee or trying to figure out if one of the guys that are currently on their roster can be the closer.
I think that's what they're going to do. I don't think if you think they're going
think
to get
so
a Britton, a Miller, a familiar? No. Robertson might be a guy in that.
Do you think
he's
that
not really
go,
a closer? Okay, he's kind of a setup guy. And with the Yankees, he was what? The seventh inning guy.
You think they're going to go into the regular season without a closer?
No. I think they're going to get bodies. I'm telling you, I don't think they're going to commit an awful lot of money. They may be bottom feeding as some of these guys go off the board. Familia and Britton go off the board. They may be bottom feeding.
I think the idea is to grab guys that have some experience. Now, if you go talk about Ottavino or Robertson, or obviously like, there's other guys. You know, Herrera. I don't know how healthy he is, or Familia. My thought was you pluck a couple of them,
right?
And then you would sit there and say, all right, we got two guys with closer experience. We got Matt Barnes, who potentially we feel like could be one. I don't know. Brazier, if he can develop a changeup to get lefties out, he could be another. So we have four guys potentially with closer stuff.
That's what I think
we'll
do.
Figure this thing out.
That's what they do.
And that's different than just saying our bullpen by committee.
No, no, no.
No one's ever had closing experience. And to be honest with you, they're just all out there smoking mirrors trying to trick them
with
crap.
What they're doing is, I wouldn't say they're taking a shot in the dark here, but what they're or shooting a hostage, but what they're doing is they're bringing some guys in.
That'd be the easy way.
Right. They're bringing some guys in that are affordable.
Nobody's
and,
on.
And your mid-30-year-old pitcher, as you know, you're not gonna have to give him a four-year deal, a five-year deal. You know, Miller... I don't know, with his health, maybe he doesn't draw as much money as we thought, but I got to believe he's going to get good money. So all of Britton's going to get good money.
It's dangerous. You know, as much as people say you can find closers everywhere, yeah, that's true, but it's risky because if you don't find one, you're screwed. And you could sit there and point at the postseason all you want.
Carson Smith.
You can have
Tyler
the postseason.
Thorne, but we can go through the list. They brought guys in.
You got to get to the postseason. And by getting to the postseason, you usually have a closer. Because if you walk in the month of April, you know, and you should be sitting there at the end of the month 15-8, but you're really 12-13 or whatever it might come out to because you've blown a couple of saves. Nothing kicks the team in the balls more than having a two-game lead in the ninth inning in April or May or June, and you lose. And that, if that consistently happens, you lose confidence in your team. You start it snowballs. So the postseason is a different season now in baseball.
Yeah.
And people need to start realizing that. Throw out all the rules come October. The regular season to me is still the same. You still need somebody to go to in April, in May, in June, in July, and to be able to close a game out. And if you don't, you don't win the division every year by 10 games. Usually you win it by 2 or 3.
I think they're going to do
that. Could be the difference.
I think they're going to do this closer stuff on the cheap. And I think you're right. I think they're going to bring in a lot of bodies, and they're going to figure it out. As to which one can be in the eighth, which one can be in the ninth. You've got
to
figure it out.
Bringing a couple guys to flip the coin, is that going to be worth now having to because of Nathan Eovaldi, who's nobody concerned about his deal? But is that worth having to trade Porcello? Xander Bogaerts? Oof. Holy smokes.
Wow.
Jackie Bradley? They better not trade Xander. They better not trade Xander. That you don't get a kid like that, and he's still a kid, by the way, who can play shortstop at a premium position when the ball's hit to him. What did he make, 6 errors last year?
Yeah, and he took it to the next level at the plate last year.
And
he was healthy.
Five-hole hitter behind, protected J.D. Martinez all year. And if J.D. failed, this dude with 2 outs knocked everybody in. A guy knocked in 100 RBIs following J.D. Martinez. You know how hard that is to do when you hit behind a guy that drove in 130 and you're still driving 100?
Yeah, I think he's I hate to say it, but Jackie Bradley Jr., who was tremendous, and you don't win the World Series, the playoffs, without him. He's the guy right now I think you deal. He got him at the highest price right now, highest value. Teams are going to look at it and say he plays a great center field. And on top of that, he can hit, and he hits in clutch situations. This is when you deal Jackie Bradley Jr. I'm with you. Xander Bogaerts,
how many times Nathan Eovaldi is going to be blamed for the Red Sox issues moving forward. Like, how many times are going to use the Nathan Eovaldi? They shouldn't have signed Nathan
Eovaldi.
But
there's a risk, and people are taking the Nathan Eovaldi
signing.
When he
goes down with injury.
Right. Like, there's no risk. There's risk
with
that
Chris
signing.
Sale.
Like, and you're already seeing it play out.
You think it's odd that Chris Sale is, like, they're not even talking about his injury? And what is it? Talk about, like there's something going on there.
Well,
that
he doesn't want
to
talk about it. He won't allow the organization to talk about his shoulder injury. That's interesting, too. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll throw that on the table, as well as the Red Sox, as well as the Patriots that we've been talking about here. Starting
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Marloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Dave, you understand, he's making jokes and everything, but when there's a lack of information, it sounds suspicious.
Well, it's okay. I mean, if that's what you feel, that's okay. I don't have any problem that you feel that way, but we feel very comfortable with it.
Yeah, I'm saying not. I'm saying how I particularly feel. It doesn't matter. But I'm saying for your fan base, people care about your team when there's...
I don't get many questions from the fan base when I'm with them in that regard. we think he's fine. And I will tell you that I would not lie to you.
All right, that's Dave Dombrowski, a little back and forth.
Dave. Like, no, Dave, I'm not questioning you, Dave. Like, I just want to clarify. I'm not, no.
It's the fans.
That's not me, but your fan base. But yeah. Me, I'm all in.
Right.
Whatever you tell me, Dave, I'm good with it. Can you imagine trading away freaking Xander Bogaerts?
Just getting more and more pissed about it.
I am. I'm looking
at it. We got more here.
You know why? Because so many people underestimate, to me, what he represents. Okay, whatever you want to talk about in the second half of the season's great. He died in the second half of 2017. He still hit 273. Great, he died in the end of 2016. He had 21 bombs, hit 294.
Thought nobody died.
Hit a 288 last year with an 883 OPS at a 25-year-old freaking shortstop in this league. 23 bombs, drove in 100. Can you imagine having to trade away Xander Bogaerts to bring back Joe Kelly and Dave Robertson? All why? All because you signed Eovaldi to $17 million?
No, it's more.
God bless him if he takes 30 starts. He ain't going to make 30 starts. He sure as hell ain't going to do it for the next 4 years, I can tell you that. The dude's a big horse. He still breaks down. Can you imagine trading away a 25-year-old shortstop who had 23 bombs, drove in 103 RBIs, is one of the most clutch hitters on your team because you got to make room for Joe Kelly and Dave Robertson?
Well,
you got to be kidding me.
It's not going to be Joe Kelly, right?
They're venting about the fact that they're going to trade freaking Xander Bogaerts, and you're sleeping back there. God! What are we doing right now?
That's not God. That's Ryan.
Right, hey, you know what? It's Nathan Eovaldi's fault.
$17 million for Nathan Eovaldi. I want everybody right now to call in and tell me again why you had to do it, Lou. It's $17 million. It's not your money. What do you care? It's only $17 million. They can spend all they want. There's no salary cap. They'll just keep spending and spending of no effect on this roster. And now you're talking about trading a 25-year-old freaking shortstop who with 23 bombs drove in 100? A 25-year-old shortstop? You got to be kidding me. For what? Because you need extra relief?
I want it to happen now.
Oh, I got an idea.
Don't you want it to happen?
Why don't you keep freaking Nathan Eovaldi's ass, pat him on the back and say, you know what, go to New York. He's going to be awesome in April and May. He won't be there in September. We're not going to worry about him.
Nobody died.
Troy Tulowitzki got released by the Blue Jays.
Oh, great. Bring in Troy Tulowitzki. He's averaging about 14 games played a year. Awesome. Yeah, you know what? You trade Xander. That's great. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, but Sue freaking Lynn at shortstop. This is going to be awesome.
Sue freaking.
All for what? For Nathan Eovaldi. Oh, my God. Right,
Wow, the hate train of Nathan Eovaldi. That should change in a hurry. Rick Porcello is crying because Nathan Eovaldi is a horse.
So they're having
and now we're yelling at him.
They're having the GM meetings out there at Vegas. Bob Nightingale had tweeted this out. The Boston
Red Sox.
Cutting
salary.
Trying to
clear. How about not sign Nate? How about that? There's your cut salary. $17 million. Now you got to cut salary? Holy smokes. You needed him, though. I remember game three. What a horse. What a name. Freaky, you got to be kidding me. And now you got to cut payroll. Holy Jesus. You know what you're going to do? You get rid of Porcello, the only guy that can take the ball every freaking fifth day. Or Jackie, or Xander. Xander. Oh, my God. Why?
Got to
sign Nate.
Nice.
Woohoo! World Series, baby! Where's freaking Price in Fortnite? Oh, my God.
So Nightingale tweeted this out. The Red Sox are trying to clear salary space now to get bullpen help. Apparently, they've run out of money, people. They're openly listening to offers on Rick Porcello. And rivals insist also are willing to talk about Xander Bogaerts in the trade and Jackie Bradley Jr. Ken Rosenthal, another, you know, pretty credible guy, has now chimed in. Rival exec confirms the Red Sox are looking to cut payroll so that they can make other moves, most likely in the bullpen, and remain under the luxury tax threshold. Remember the line? It's not my money. It's not my money. Well, it's your money now if you want this team to win next year.
Oh, now you get
I'm going to let Lou get it.
Can we just say
I enjoy watching Lou go crazy. Hold on, let me just read the last line. Right. Porcello and Bogaerts, he brings it up. Rosenthal does as well. Eligible for free agency after this season. Bradley after 2020, and those are the guys that they're talking to other teams about.
Can we just foreshadow? So you're saying Bogaerts is going to be up. Porcello's going to be up. J.D. Martinez is going to be up. Mookie Betts is going to be up. Sale is going to be up. Instead of blaming and looking at the signing of Eovaldi, look at like what they're foreshadowing, what they're getting ready to pay, right? So can't you look at it, that being the case, that this is more and less about Eovaldi, it's more about re-signing Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez?
But, Christian, suppose you're paying Nathan Eovaldi at the high end. You're paying him based on what you saw in three or four weeks.
See, okay, that's not,
suppose he's not that guy.
You're, but you know you're what also going to – Don't you think you could lose Porcello also?
Yes.
I mean, okay, so then you could re-sign Eovaldi, but you're probably going to lose Porcello.
I hate to tell Nate Eovaldi he was terrific last year and they don't win the World Series.
How does it look?
But
he break it down.
But if they get rid of Porcello – he's going to have to be damn good. And Eovaldi's going to have to be out there every fifth game.
That kind of comes with
the
money.
Every fifth game.
Yes.
But he's got no history of it. Yes, you are.
Yes, you're betting on it.
What? What are you betting on?
It's like a Vegas bet. I don't know. It's like, you know, the field, the com, whatever.
What? What
would you all kind of go together?
What would you
when you come and go?
I don't know.
What would you get for Xander Bogaerts?
You should get.
No, here's the thing. Cutting payroll. I'm going to trade $11 million for Xander. Okay? For what? Prospects? Because I need $11 million bucks? How do you trade Xander Bogaerts to cut salary?
You could trade him for prospects.
Trading for who? DeGrom? Syndergaard?
No.
I was just saying, like, it's not like they don't cost anything. Like who are you trading a 25-year-old shortstop that should be an all-star that hits fifth for you, who you got 2 years left in, or one more year you have to control? Like, I don't know. What are you going to do? You're going to just trade him for what? Prospects? I mean, I don't understand that. I have no clue what the hell they're talking about. Like Jackie Bradley, Rick Porcello, I guess you're in a situation where you can trade him for prospects. To me, you don't trade Xander Bogaerts. I don't even know where this is coming from. Like the Porcello thing, I've talked about it in the past. But you know what? I'm not big on it now.
No.
Because of Eovaldi's the replacement for a guy that starts 33 times a year?
Well, you're going to need Eovaldi to start 33 times this year, right? So if Eovaldi becomes your Porcello, then you can look at it this way.
What do you need a reliever for? I thought Eovaldi's a swing guy.
You know that's not accurate. He can do that in the postseason for you. He can be the everyday guy, okay? But what you need from Eovaldi, if they trade Porcello, you need Eovaldi to give you 200-plus innings. I don't think he's capable of doing it. That's your problem. So you've replaced him with a guy that was tremendous, that without him you don't win that championship. But now for 2019, can he give you what Porcello gave you and then do it again in 2020, 2021, and 2022, right? Is that the contract? Yes. That's what you're asking for. That's what you need. If he can do that... Because you didn't have Eovaldi through up until late in the season. He becomes your replacement for Porcello. But I'm with you. The Bogaerts trade?
No.
You're basically saying, Lou,
No.
He's done at the end of next year. We can't re-sign him. His tag is going to be far too big for us. So let's trade him now because we can't afford him starting in 2020.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, you build around JD, Mookie, and Xander. That's your offense. You know, you got ways to go with Benintendi. You got a ways to go with Devers.
Yeah, but look at how much to spend on pitching. And what is it going to cost you
to spend $17 million to solidify a five-man rotation. To me, you're the Boston Red Sox. You got a four-man rotation right now. And you know, if that guy doesn't exist because Eovaldi's not a guy you can count on, you move on. You don't re-sign Nathan Eovaldi and think you can rely on him for the next 3 or 4 years and trade away a guy like Porcello. No. Okay, do it. Good luck. We'll see how that goes.
Hey, most people were ecstatic about it a few days ago. And I can...
still are.
Now they're going,
oh, maybe...
Well, it's not...
Maybe they didn't need
to. It's not my money, Lou.
Oh, maybe they didn't need to sign him.
Many people said that that day. It's not my money.
Freaking believable.
So the Red Sox don't want to go over the luxury tax, people. The Red Sox apparently are talking with other teams about dealing players off because they need money now to go get bullpen help.
Yeah, they're having a garage sale.
And the names are Rick Porcello, Xander Bogaerts, and Jackie Bradley Jr.
You know what? Okay, I'm not gonna lose my mind.
Yet. Thank you.
Yet.
Thank you.
If they trade Porcello...
Nobody died.
I'll still disagree the fact that I don't think that Eovaldi can replace him. If they trade Jackie, I'll sit there and say, okay. If they trade Xander, watch the bleep out.
Oh, good. All I hope can it tell happens. You.
If they trade Xander Bogaerts like, to free
a
space
website?
For a reliever, watch out. Just heads up. If it happens Christmas Day, I'll come in and talk about it on the radio. Heads up. That better not happen this week.
Unbelievable. What a holiday. We end up losing Xander Bogaerts and Tim Neverett in one holiday season.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why Tim never is here anymore. Because they couldn't afford him.
When you sign Evaldi, you can't afford Neverett.
Yeah.
Last year of his deal.
Is it a coincidence that he's going to L.A.? How lucky was it that they were playing? Oh, forget it.
You sold him on those freaking donuts that you kept on bringing up to the broadcast.
I can get this here. How can you?
617-779-7937. Back to the phones.